All right, welcome everyone to the Art of Channeling Collective. Today's meeting number 14. Glad you're here. And we're obviously missing a bunch of people, and that's always okay. And we miss the people who aren't here. It was kind of a funny start to today. And I just want everyone to, I'm welcoming Sherry Lynn to our group. She's here for the first time. Putting her toe in the water. Sorry, we don't have a better showing for you, Sherry Lynn. We're missing some people, but that's okay.
That's not a problem.
And actually today, when I was tuning into the High Council of Orion, we're going to do things. We did this, I think, last year, but they said they wanted to do something a little different today. And so that's what we're going to do. And just by way of grounding everyone, but I'm really sharing this with Sherry Lynn because everyone else knows that what we do in the beginning is if I have some announcements, I start with the announcements. So I'm not trying to get through them at the end when there's been channeling happening, although you guys will do your group channeling at the end. But then we share, you know, what's going on. And, you know, that often can be related to like, what did the High Council of Orion talk about last month? And, you know, what are you practicing and how did it feel? Or what's happening with all that? Any celebrations or questions in general, then usually I open up to a message from the High Council of Orion for whatever they want to share. And it's always in this general large category. They keep breaking open the sides of what channeling is and expanding our understanding and definition and experience of what that is. And then there's always time for breakout rooms at the end to practice channeling, whether it's a general practice of channeling or whether it's specifically related to what the High Council of Orion brought through that night. I mean, right before that. So that's the general flow of our time together. And I don't have any announcements. I don't have anything to share ahead of time at the beginning. So let's just open right now then to celebrations, sharing questions, anything like that that you might have or that's on your mind. Carol, please go ahead.
Well, I'm not so sure. I've talked about in the past that a lot of times I will just get messages about things. And Tuesday I was driving up from Sacramento to Mount Shasta area to see Reed. And I was just exhausted. The last hour between Reading and Mount Shasta is you've got to be very alert with your driving.
Been there, done that.
Yeah. Okay. So you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And I did spheres. I called for High Council of Orion to give me an attunement for more energy and alertness. And I called on everything, and I stopped for a hydration type of drink. I couldn't do any more coffee. So anyway, long story short, when I'm just as I get out of Reading area, I'm starting to climb, you know, see the mountain and see all the trees and stuff. All of a sudden, my spirit got one of my spirit's guides comes in. His name is Spirit Bear. And I've known him for years and years. And he just says, "Why didn't you call on me? You're all asking everybody else but me."
Oops.
He goes, "This is our, this, I mean, it's like we've had incarnation." According to him, we've been like brothers. And he goes, "I am here for you. This is our, this is one of our spots, our territory, you know." He goes, he goes, "I am here with you whenever you come here. This is our place." And, you know, he kept popping in the whole visit, like almost every day for
so
different.
Did it make your driving easier?
Oh my gosh. I was so alert. I was so awake. I couldn't believe it. It was the most energized on any stretch of the trip, including the morning. It
That's
was,
awesome.
I mean, so he really gave, I mean, he was there. He had a boost. He was so energized and so happy that I was going to be in Shasta area. And it was like, whoa, this was amazing. Because I was really dragging. I'd been up since 2:30 because I couldn't sleep. So,
Wow. Well, that sounds great. That I love that. And thanks for sharing all that. That's, that unintentional channeling on the fly, but it's, part of that connection you've cultivated, and also obviously you're listening.
yes, that's the important part. It's like the more you listen, they will help.
Right. Excellent. Thank you. Anyone else have anything they want to share or ask about? Yeah, Candace, please go
Yeah,
ahead.
two things. The first thing, it's kind of similar. I wasn't going to share this, but I just keep, they're right before in front of me, these flowers right here. And I had bought flowers for Mother's Day for my mom and my aunt. And then my mom took my one for my aunt, but they were carrying too much stuff. So she ended up leaving the one for me, partly because I was like, oh my gosh, it's so amazing to have flowers. My whole apartment just feels so different. I feel so happy. And oftentimes at night, I just start feeling really awkward here, and it's just like just very uncomfortable. Like during the day, it's fine because the light's coming in, but as soon as the flowers were here, that feeling was just gone. And it's like it was so surprising to me that something so simple can shift such a profound thing that I feel almost every night. And I thought it was the apartment or me or whatever, but the flowers just changed everything. I feel like, we're expanding what channeling is. Like they're emitting their energy into the space. And I mean, I have plants too, and I love my plants, but there's something about the flowers. It's such a high frequency, and it just, I guess, a frequency that I feel very connected with, and like it just feels very home. So, yeah, I feel like they're just emitting themselves into this space all day, every day, as long as they're here, and I'm experiencing and being uplifted by that. So.
Well, they do say that the fairies tend flowers, and when we cut flowers and bring them in the house, the fairies stay with them. So you bring a fairy into your house when you bring in flowers. Now, whether that's true, I don't know. I heard it decades ago, and I've always believed it ever since.
Yeah, well, I can definitely ask them and talk to them and see if what they have to share. I said we would love that. So that's the first thing. And then one more thing I want to also share is the attunements. I've gone so deep into attunements, to the point where I started asking for attunement from my soul light and my soul love. Which has felt really cool to go there. And then I've been asking for attunements from my dragon guides that I'm working with. And then also yesterday or today, I asked for an attunement from Source. Just like it was just felt to go direct. And I thought, wow, this is really cool how this is opening up. And I just feel like it's helping. It helps me in so much. I think everyone here does universal spheres, but I'm doing it all the time in conjunction with the universal sphere when I feel like I'm having a hard time letting something go. I'll just ask for an attunement, and it's like chips away at it. It's like, the sphere is there, but it's like working with me to let the sphere in more. So I'm just loving attunements. That's all I have
Awesome.
to
Thank you. I was going to talk about the attunements in just a minute. So,
Okay, cool.
that'll be a segue, but that doesn't mean anyone else can't share first. Thanks for sharing, Candace.
Yeah, thanks.
Elizabeth, please go ahead.
Yes, and on that note of attunements, can I have an attunement to remind me to do attunements? I come to class, I think about it, I write it down on a piece of paper. Yes, I got to remember to do these every day and stick it up, and then I forget. Then we come to class again, and I say, darn. have to remember to do the ask for these attunements. One of the things that's happened lately is my living room is redecorating itself. And it's really neat because it's telling
like me something happens, like you've got the elves and the fairies moving furniture around at night when you're sleeping.
Well, not quite. not quite like that. It's more the inspiration or the messages as to what wants to go there. And a friend of mine had two wingback chairs she was selling. And I quickly took those. And it's like that was the beginning because that totally shifted everything in the living room. Even nice. The furniture, I moved furniture around to where I wanted it. And then it's like, it keeps telling me it wants more empowerment. So I was watching a video and I love how things sometimes just show up, right? And the guy on the video was talking and behind him on his back wall, he just had all these words. And I thought, oh my gosh, perfect word art. There is wall word art.
You talked about that too, having word art.
Yeah. And so that's what I want to do. But some of the things that I want to put up are things like I want infinite possibilities in universal sphere as like one of it, as reminders. So as Candace was mentioning, attunements, I think I need to get one made that says, High Council of Orion, ask for attunements. And that way I will constantly see it. I'm like, why not? I think that sounds like a really good idea. I just feel like it's not my mind decorating it. So it's coming from someplace else. Like I'm getting the messages and the feelings and then the things, synchronicities. And I even have found a place to go get it done. Because I kind of looked online and to get it created for yourself, it's hard to find that because most stuff comes already done, right? Then I was in this wellness center. Yes, Sherilyn, that one. And they've got this beautiful word art all over the place in positive words. And so I asked her where she got it done. It's like the print shop next door. I'm like, beautiful. So it's gradually falling into place. And I'm just kind of looking for the inspiration of what the words are or the group of words or the combination. So thank you, Candace, for bringing up attunements tonight. Because I really like that, and I'm going to do that. No, when I get it done, I'll show it to him. I'll show it to you all in one of our meetings.
Awesome. Thank you. Congratulations. I love that. It's kind of like channeling or, you know, synchronicity type or intuitive download type inspiration to make your home in the right energy that you want. And don't forget, you know, because we've got so many Akashic Records people here, open up the records of your home and ask what it wants also from that point of view. And you can say with your intention, you know, this is my intention. And what are the suggestions? Because your home has an opinion as well.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Carol, did you want to add something?
No, I just want to ask a question. If you ask your house, you know, like if it needs something or repairs, would it be able to allow things to happen more quickly and with ease? Or you just would do a sphere around that to make sure that the right person comes to do the work?
I mean, if I went into my Akashic Records and I asked about something and knew that it was something that I needed outside help for, I would still ask in my records about, you know, with the assumption of like, you know, easy and flow, the right people, but I would probably do spheres around it also with that intention of, again, ease, flow, the right people.
Okay.
I mean, that's how I would do it.
Oh, well, I bow to you because I just wanted to.
Yeah. But I mean, we all know lots of different things, and I tend to just kind of use all of them.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what we're learning it for.
And I actually do other things that I don't really even talk about. I mean, not that I'm hiding it, but it's just like, I do a ton of tapping, tons. I don't teach it. I could, but I don't teach it. I don't bring myself out in the world that way, but do a lot of again, other things as well, that just to keep my energy in the right place.
Yes.
The tapping really helps me with my emotional stuff. I mean, it can help you with everything, but it really makes a huge difference for me emotionally. So I think I originally learned that like 25 years ago. Oh, it was called EFT. I mean, it still is called EFT, but a lot of people know it as tapping now.
Okay,
So
thank you.
yeah, that's what I would do. Yeah. Anyone else? So we have fairies, redecorating. Are we good with sharing for now? Okay, look, again, going back to what Candace was saying, and then Elizabeth sort of piggybacked on with regard to attunements. I'll just do a brief summary, Sherry Lynn, for you is that, and you can find it, I can point it out to you too, if you can send me an email. The High Council of Ryan, many years ago, maybe in 2012 or 13. Talked about asking for attunements. And it's literally as simple as tuning into the High Council of Orion and just saying, may I have an attunement, please? And they come in and they're not there to completely change your world because we are here with our free will and we are intended to be in action around it. But they'll come in and do like refinement, energetic refinements. And initially it came through as it was just like a general attunement. But over the years, the High Council of Orion has also said, you know, if you're really working on something and you want to get into better alignment with it, you can just ask for an attunement around that particular thing. And if you lay down, like, well, what I found, if I lay down or if I'm sitting quietly without a lot of other noise or distraction, many times, not every time, I can actually feel some energetic buzzing or movement happening within me. And sometimes I don't. I mean, there are times at night where I, like, if I wake up in the middle of the night and ask for an attunement, I may just go right back to sleep and then just not even feel anything. But that's what it does. And so the reason I wanted to talk about it today, because of our focus with the High Council of Orion, also is, and, you know, Kevin mentioned this, you know, before we officially started, you know, just like the energies have been really intense, weird, however you want to feel about it. I know for myself, the last week and a half has been, oof, like I don't even know. And so, and I can't blame it on it. You know, it's not like, oh, Mercury's in retrograde or we're in the middle of an eclipse right now. It's like, I got nothing except, I mean, now we know we've got these big solar flares. But while the solar flares are happening and they're big, I highly recommend you ask for attunements. They have made a world of difference. And some of you have heard this story before, but when Paul and I first asked the High Council of Orion, I don't even know that we asked, they just told him about. They just told us about the attunements. Paul and I would get really irritable with each other when we were, I mean, we eventually made this connection between solar flare activity, nothing like what's going on right now. They were much milder, but they were significant at the time. And we would just kind of get irritable with each other. And so when we started asking for regular attunements, we weren't irritable with each other. And solar flare activity was still happening. It just sort of settles everything. I just view it as bringing us into energetic alignment with what is in the space around us. So, just a reminder during these times, whether it's planetary stuff, whether it's personal stuff, be generous in asking. As they've said, and mostly all of you have heard, you can't ask them too many times. So, go ahead and receive that support. Kevin, I see your hand up.
Right. Well, you and I have had a lot of conversations recently about our stuff, but I've had trouble just moving forward. And today I kind of broke that log jam, and I didn't feng shui my apartment, but I moved some stuff around to open it up and make it look better and more functional. But a few weeks ago, I found my copy of the Secret Behind the Secret DVD, the Esther Hicks DVD that came out as a response to the burn, the burn. And I sat down and watched that, and it was kind of a way of getting my head in the right space for tonight. But then I checked my astrology, and forget about Mercury retrograde. There's a huge conjunction in Taurus right now, and it happens to be sitting right on top of my Jupiter and my Mars, which are in conjunction. So it's interesting that I have the Sun and Jupiter, Venus. What else is there? Uranus. And that's the correct way to pronounce it. And they're all sitting right up on top of my natal Mars, which is about being in action, and Jupiter's our connection with the divine. All right. Jupiter's the god planet in the astrology. So I found that it was interesting that I finally started to move forward in a very concerted way. And there are other things. I'm not going to get into all the other stuff that's happened this week. But if you have planetary placements in the mid-20s, 20 to 25, you're being affected by this.
20 to 25 what, Kevin?
Degrees.
Oh,
in all right. Your planetary placements. So let's say your sun is at 28 degrees of Pisces. This would be an aspect to your sun.
Okay. So
and
we would look up those numbers of degrees relative to our sun or any of our planets.
Any of your planets. Any of your planets that are in the mid-20s would be an aspect to this conjunction that's in transit. And then, of course, you have the solar storms and everything else.
Okay. Well, thank you for that.
The solar storms are macro energy, and the energies of your chart a little bit more subtle.
Yeah. Well, thank you. So go pull your charts, everyone. Take a look. Talk to Kevin if you need it decoded. Is there a site we can go to find out our planets, Sherry Lynn said. Which one do you recommend, Kevin? You're muted, I think, Kevin.
Astro Dance. I think it's astro.com. I'll look it up and I'll put it in the chat.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, and all these things impact us. And I feel like, they've always been impacting us. I don't know if it's our consciousness is shifting, that we're taking it in more and acknowledging it more, or it's just the world we swim around in, but it just seems like there's a lot. And so instead of feeling overwhelmed, like, how are we using our tools? How are we using our resources to support ourselves and take us in the direction of what we'd like to create and what we'd like to experience in our lives, and not feel like we have to collapse under the weight of these things that are happening? Because we're also here at the time of the ascension, at the time of the awakening, and we have to expect things to change. And when things change, they can seem harder. Why? Because it's different. We don't have a frame of reference for it yet. And so when we get that frame of reference and we get anchored into it, then it feels familiar. But most of us get kind of destabilized by change, don't we? Changing jobs, changing relationships, changing places that you live, whether you're just moving to a new home or an apartment, or you're moving somewhere else entirely, all of that is change. And so that you remembering to use our tools to create that life and spiritual resilience is really important. And so in the context of this, it's who are we channeling? Who are we asking for the support, like on our drives, right, Carol? And who are we leaning into and asking? Because I know it was probably 3 or 4 months ago, I was lying in bed. I tend to mull around a lot of stuff when I'm lying in bed. And both the High Council of Orion and Ishtara came in, and they basically said, you're not asking for help. You just think you're supposed to be doing it all on your own. Why? I was like, oh. So like, you know, like Elizabeth, if she needs her stick on post-its on the wall, I mean, that for me is where my default is. I forget that I have lots of support and I forget to ask. So this is part of this asking for help and support and not feeling like we're going it alone. And part of us have had a lot of lifetimes where we were alone or separated or silenced. And so now it's time for, you know, whether it's finding community and not being alone that way, but also recognizing we have all this unseen support that, you know, universal law, spiritual law won't let them step in and help us without asking. So we do need to ask. We must. That's part of our free will engagement. So, all right. Thanks for sharing. Anyone else have anything they want to share about or? Okay. So what the plan is for today, which is something I think we did last summer or maybe last fall in this group, brought about by the High Council of Orion, is their channeling is opening to you today. So you get to ask whatever you want. You can ask a question about channeling, or if you have a question that's up for you in your life and you want their guidance, their support, their wisdom, here it is. And that was not what was planned. There was something else they talked. I mean, I know you guys hear this from me all the time. They talked to me about something else earlier in the day. And when I actually this afternoon sat down to write out the outline, they said, no, we're not going to do that. So this is what we're going to do. The channeling time is going to be channeling for each of you. Obviously, it's not, you know, 20, 30 minutes each, but, you know, but feel free, start thinking about what you'd like to ask. Again, obviously this is in a somewhat public place. I mean, we have this group and we have the people who aren't here who might watch the replay. So it's private in that regard, but it's also not the same as a one-to-one session where it might be really private, but feel free to ask, you know, we're all kind people. All right. Either Candace or Elizabeth, would you mind anchoring the questions? Who wants to raise their hand first? Okay, Elizabeth, you get to be co-host. Thank you. I'm making you the co-host now. That way, then I just don't have to open my eyes or decide somebody's done. And so we still want to have time for you to break out into groups to practice some channeling. So we'll go between the natural break around between 9 and 9:15. I'd like maybe around 10 after 9. So we have a little bit of time for a bio break and then go into the breakout rooms. Okay.
I'll watch the time.
All right. Thanks so much. Thank you. Appreciate it. All right. So let me just close my eyes and tune in. Greetings, dear ones. We are the High Council of Orion. We're going to begin this transmission in our time together by following through on what has been said. Let's just take a moment and come present with yourself, whether it's you feel that you're getting into your body, whether you feel like you're becoming mindful of your breath, whether you feel like you're dropping down into the space of your heart, whether you feel like you're relaxing the different parts of your body consciously, intentionally, or all of the above. Let's just take a moment to be here now, as is said. And as you land in your present moment, in your body, also keeping your awareness expanded in a way that perhaps you don't do all day, every day, which is being inclusive of your energetic field. Depending on how one is feeling physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, the edge of that auric field might be quite close to your body, or it might be quite far away. But just allow your awareness to focus on that as still part of that sacred space of you. And what we're going to do is invite you now to ask for an attunement, as we've discussed, as has been discussed. And whether it's something that you have a focus on right now, or a particular area of your life, or whether it's just that general attunement, so that you are in sync with your own energies, the world around you, the galaxy around you, so that you are attuned with universal frequencies. And simply ask, reach out and ask. Allowing yourself to be open to receive. Allowing your breathing to be relaxed and full. One doesn't need to have the requirement to receive any words or transmissions that need to impact your conscious cognitive awareness. You may, but it's not required as you receive an attunement. And from this place of asking for an attunement, what we want to do is invite what your questions are, creating a space of enlightenment, support, answers to your curiosities around this energy of who you are and your awakening and your ascension, whether it's you or the world around you. But let's take this moment to give you this personal time in today's message and transmission.
Hey, who would like to start us off? Go for it, Candace.
Okay, thank you so much. I actually was having the thought of it would be so nice if we could do this today. So thank you. And I should probably just do a session with you guys. I guess maybe this is like the appetizer. So, oh my goodness, I've been really going through a lot, and it's a continuation of what I've been working with you with. But I'll start with, I've been doing the pineal gland from Ishtara spheres again from 2020. And I feel like I'm back to where I was in 2020. And I'm doing the highest potential ones as well, like re-listening to them and starting to work with those energies. And I'm feeling back to like alive and able to create in a way that's like, I haven't felt like I've been able to, like it was like somehow taken away. And so that's what my question is, but like it comes, where I am now with it is like two things. One, just so grateful that I'm where I am right now with it. And then like, I feel like I'm back to, oh wow, I can move energies and I can create again and I can do these things that was just part of who I was before, and it was gone. I wasn't gone, but it felt like that a little bit. Anyways, and then this grief around having it been gone and the relationship, it feels like it's connected to my aunt. And that's what my question is around. Is that, am I accurate in that? And this is such a personal topic. And I mean, I know she's never going to be watching this, but to be sharing in a group, but this is what's up. I feel like there's a way, and I was doing some channeling today around it, that it was a reactive thing that she did, that she like somehow stopped my ability to create. This is what I'm getting, out of protection for herself. And I did a session with the dolphins around it, and that came up in a way it was totally unexpected. And after that, I felt like my abilities to create came back, which is why I'm like, you know, there was like an affirmation that there is something real to this. So that's what my question is around.
So what is specifically your question? Because we have something to say around it, but it may not be related to the question that you're specifically asking.
Okay. So the specific question, and obviously I'm sure what you have to share is perfect as well, is, I guess, am I correct about the relationship with my aunt and there being a connection about there was a way in which my ability to create was like hampered through that relationship?
Yeah, we're going to say yes and no.
Okay.
And this is going to be direct because we know you can handle the direct.
Okay.
And that is, people can only impact you the way you allow them to impact you.
Okay.
So what we're going to say to you right now, if you say, well, back in 2020 or whatever year it was, I felt a particular way in terms of my creativity and my flow, and then it changed and I didn't feel like I had that creativity and flow, and now I'm reconnecting with it. You're looking for a why. Now, we're going to set your aunt aside right now as we have this conversation with you. We're going to put her in the closet, so to speak. We're not even going to address her right now for the moment, because here's what you need to hear about this. If you say, well, it was gone, and yes, you had emotions and you didn't like it happening, but please go back and look at all the things that happened, all the ways you grew and all the things that happened during that time period that maybe you feel like my creativity wasn't there, but what was there? What was actually happening? Because there was a tremendous amount happening during that time period. We would encourage you to notice, instead of making all that time in between wrong because the creativity wasn't there, well, what was in that space? Can you feel that?
Mm-hmm.
And so, and really honor that, like it's almost like a micro journey in the bigger journey. And it was actually, and if you made a list of all the ways that you grew, all the ways you changed, all your new awarenesses, all the breakthroughs, you'd have quite an extensive list and you'd be able to say, wow, that was a lot in a good way. And that you wouldn't give up that time period of not learning. So it's not so much that it was lost. We would say you went on a little detour for a little while and that now you've picked up the path again. Can you feel that? If you were going down this creativity path, that's what just what we'll call it. We know it's much richer than that. And it wasn't lost. You had the experience of it being lost, but there was an interesting little sidebar that you took yourself on. And there was a lot of richness unto itself on that sidebar, on that journey. It was unexpected from your cognitive awareness at the time, but it was rich, it was full, it was meaningful. And now you've picked up, you're not back where you started, you're further down on the same trail or pathway you were on, but you have the richness of this experience. That is what we would highlight for you more than anything else. Now, there could have been things, we're going to take your aunt out of the closet for a brief moment, is that there may have been things that made you curious about exploring this, but there was nothing ever predatorily done to you. There were some choices that you made. And again, we encourage you to really spend some time looking at the richness of it, because again, your experience is, I'm back here, but we're saying you're further, you're on the same path. You just got there in a different way.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm listening to the recordings and I'm like, I get it so much more now than I did then. Or like, I can see how I'm more developed, even in my capacity to receive them now. So it's amazing right. to go back to them. So
right. So the idea is, what's very important is you were not being held back. You went on a fun detour. Now, every moment of that detour, it's understood that it wasn't fun, but in terms of growth, it was rich. Okay. And so, again, please don't feel, the most important thing is, don't feel like now I'm back there and now I've got all this distance to make up and all my time is lost. It is not lost, because you come to it new again.
Fascinating. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Do you think I should do a session with you?
You tap in here.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
We are always here when you're ready.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Candace. Who would like to go next? Sherry Lynn.
If nobody else is jumping. So my question, I mean, I have many questions, but in the interest of time for everybody else, so I'm curious about right now, looking at where I put my energy and where is the most potent place to put my energy, the most productive, the most efficient for the highest good of me, as well as the highest good of all. And is that in my IT career or more so in my energy career? Pursuing that right now, I have a leg in both worlds, and I keep continually coming back to, well, if I just, improve my skills or go back into some different, like AI, as far as IT goes, maybe that's a good way to kind of continue and keep that financial foundation. But what's the best place for me to put my energy that will do the best good overall, as well as still be financially abundant?
Well, we're going to play with this with you for a moment.
Okay.
And so what we want to do is bring forward the energy and awareness that both of those aspects are a complete unit for you. You might say, well, I have this IT thing, and it would feel different. And it's a different part of your brain, energy, your relationships are different. The way you talk is different. The way you think is different in that. And then there's this other more spiritual work aspect of it. And that's a different aspect of you, but in totality, they make up you. And so the part that we want to just play with for a moment is this energy and awareness that neither one is intended to be released at this point in time.
Mm-hmm.
How does that feel right now? I mean, when you talk about, because we would say in terms of the totality of you, together they are one, even though you experience them as totally separate. Does that resonate?
It does, in the sense that even when I step away from IT, I keep getting really good opportunities to come back that I can't say no to, that are, pretty much custom built for me. So from that aspect, and now like where I'm sitting, I feel pretty good about it. Like the IT work that I'm doing is like what my heart calls for in that space. But working with clients in a much more personal way also makes my heart sing as well. And so at this point, the balancing act between the two is working quite well. And
And
then
so,
I guess I look, do I keep going with that? So yes, to answer, it's good for now.
right. And we would say that's the energy that is really there for you, because your mind and energy is wanting to make, to just like choose a lane, so to speak, of like just this or just that. And remembering, especially remembering that you can spiritualize. And you know, if you say, well, I want to really move in the direction of my spiritual practice, the reality is that you can spiritualize no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing. And so bringing that in and allowing these to commingle as the holistic part of you, and also calling on both aspects of your business in terms of your fulfillment, your satisfaction, your contribution, the finances, all of it. Literally ask those aspects of your businesses, we'll call them that, even if you're working for somebody else in IT. The idea is ask them to let you know when it's time to move on.
That
Ask
sounds
them
like a
to let you
reasonable.
know when it's time to do something different. Expand the amount of time you spend or contract the amount of time you spend. Ask that of yourself and ask that of those aspects, but begin to see that you're not holding them apart, but that you can embrace them into one whole. You could, if you needed a visual imagery of it, think of that as the yin yang, that they're two halves of the whole of you, in that if you walked away from either one of them now, you would feel that there's something missing. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's fair. And so
If
is it also
you
fair
heard
then?
right now that you need to let go of your spiritual practice, would that feel comfortable?
No.
And if you heard right now that you have to let go of the IT work, would that feel comfortable?
No.
No. So the answer is right there in your energetic field, in your field of knowingness already. So the biggest key is always being aware of how you keep it in a beautiful balance without feeling overworked or stressed.
Is it fair to say then that it would benefit me to shift my perspective? Because right now I view the IT work as like kind of keeping me anchored in the 3D world, and then my energy work kind of pulls me into more of a 5D kind of experience and energy.
Well,
And
what would it be
that.
like if you decided to get curious about how your IT work could feel 5D also?
That's kind of what I'm thinking, is that I'm holding myself back with that. Thank you.
And
Thank you
then
for all of that.
also, when you say, well, the spiritual work is, 5D, how do you anchor it into also being 3D? And you already see that when you're working with clients and they're making real changes in their life, that their lived experience is different, that's very anchored in 3D. So that's part of that holistic seeing of it. If I see them as two different dimensions, they're really existing multidimensionally. So how do you shift your perspective and your awareness? And even if every time you logged into your computer or started doing the work of your IT job, just say, I'm going to see how I could make this 5D today and see what that would be like and what your energy, how your energy would shift or things might change. Could be a lot of fun for you.
Yeah, that could be. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Sherry Lynn. Yeah, and I love that idea of 5D in the job. I may have to try that as well. That sounds pretty cool. Okay, Kevin, you're up next.
Great, thank you. It seems that like I got part of my reading from Candace and part of my reading from Sherry Lynn because I'm at this fork in the road myself. But I recently have had a lot of family history come up in my consciousness, also in the 3D. And I'm not certain if it's just an indication that I have unprocessed, unhealed stuff that I need to work on, or simply that I need to cut the cords. I'm not talking about cutting my family out. In fact, I'm getting closer to my family. But it seems like just over a period of the past couple of months, this has just been really in my face. Can you give me any insight on that?
When you talk about cutting the cords, explain more of what your perception is around that.
Well, my attachments to past drama, and I've had a full share of it.
So we're going to answer this relative to you, of course, rather than all the other people who may be part of the drama, or we won't say any more than that, than all the drama around that. So the idea here for you is, as you're making these changes, new awarenesses are coming in. We would say to you that a lot of these renewed awarenesses, we would call them, because they're not necessarily brand new. The renewed awarenesses are giving you an opportunity to reflect from where you are right now versus where you were then, and saying, and really, number one, recognizing how you've changed, how far you've come, how your perspective is different, how you are shifted and changed. So that's number one. That's definitely a theme we have here. So that idea of how have I changed, and really honoring and acknowledging the journey that you've been on, and that you really can say, yes, in fact, I've changed. And then the question is, do I want to carry that story along with me? Or how would I like to reframe and re-choose a relationship that's different than that now, if I'm going to stay in contact with these people, or decide to release these relationships? But more than anything else, from the point of view that, and you know this, that the past does not define your future. So it's like you looking to your future from the present moment of where you are, rather than from any old energy. And literally, if you could cut it off in terms of your energy of saying that was a past life, even if you say, well, chronologically, it was still this lifetime, it really was a past life relative to energetically where you are right now. Does that resonate?
Oh, yeah. It's the spiraling upward.
Exactly. And we were going to say that. So you're having this opportunity to look at it from the new perspective, to acknowledge where you are, and then make a new choice, rather than thinking, well, it's those people, that's the energy, that's the dynamic. It's like, how do I want to choose to be in that? What's the energy I want to choose to exist in and manifest from and experience more than anything else? What's the experience that I want to have? And seeing it through the new eyes of where you are, and really be in that place of celebration of the growth and the change. That's a direct result of the efforts that you've brought into your life, your energy, and your awareness.
Right. And I think part of the problem with it for me has been, there's been a certain level of re-experiencing the events, which, you know, it kind of sucks you down. And of course, patting myself on the back, well, I'm good at that. But the idea being that cutting off from those emotional experiences, not cutting off the people, but cutting off the past in that sense.
We would say one of the easiest ways to create that cut is to bless the experience. Because it's not something like, this is uncomfortable, I've got to cut it away, I've got to block it off, I've got to cordon it off so it's not part of me. Is bless the experience that was, bless the people if you want, or wish them well, however you feel like you could do that, where you're not re-engaging, you're just basically blessing them on their way. And any cords or ties that you have there just sort of soften and stretch out. They become thinner to the point that the break is easier, more than trying to cut a big, deep cord. If we're not saying that energetically it's that way, but that's a good imagery for it. So that you honor those experiences by blessing experiences, or wishing the experiences and who you were at the time and the other people involved at the time well, allows you to honor who you were at that moment, honor the rightness of what it was in the moment, even if it was uncomfortable, as a catalyst for you to grow, change, evolve, understand more. And so it's without having to make it wrong.
Okay.
Because the wrongness is where the judgment is. And the more we can free ourselves up from judgment, then the easier it is to create the change that's sustainable and moving forward.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Kevin. Go ahead, Marie.
Yes. I have the impression that I have to do things differently, business in my business. I grew so much for the last few years. So what can you tell me about that? Any advice would be appreciated.
So you grew a lot in the last few years, yes?
Yes.
And so what needs to change? Is it overwhelming?
No, for me, I feel comfortable, very comfortable with all the experiences I had. But it seems I cannot reach the client. I feel a gap with the client and myself.
What does that mean? Meaning you don't have enough clients coming in?
Yeah. And I don't know. I don't know what to think about that.
So the question then becomes, what do you do to bring clients in?
Yeah.
What do you do?
Yeah, social media a little bit, but I'm not in it a lot.
Okay. So is it more that you would like more people coming in and you are not sure how to bring more people in?
Kind of, yes.
You'll need to share more.
Yeah.
What more would you like to share about that? Because you're not actually really asking yet, we're going to say to you lovingly the question that's really there.
Yeah. I thought maybe I have to do things differently during my sessions.
And why is that? So that they're more impactful, so that more people would have a more of a mind-blowing experience, so they want to tell their friends more?
Yeah.
Okay.
But the impact is important for the people to feel better, but on all levels.
Right. So we're circling around the real question. Is the real question that you want to be more effective with your clients, or is the real question that you would like to have more clients?
These two different questions.
Exactly. Yeah. Which is the real question you're asking?
They are interesting in their own way, both of them.
When you originally asked your question, what was the question you were really hoping to receive guidance on?
To have more impact on people.
We're going to say that's not really what you want. But we're going to answer that question because you do want more clients, correct?
Yes, but when I have a client, usually I would like the impact on people, you know, to feel, for them to really feel what they should feel on a deeper level.
So here's what we're going to say about this in this context that we're in right here in this moment. Is remembering that when you deliver the work that you do,
yes,
it's always a co-creation with your client.
Yes.
And in that you can't deliver more, if you will, than they can receive.
Yeah, okay. So they have to be open and ready.
Right. So when you talk about more effectively working with your clients, there are ways that you could, whether it's sending them an email or sending them somewhere on your website or talking to them ahead of time, to manage their expectations about their engagement and involvement in the work and the follow through for the greatest level of impact.
Okay.
And the greatest level of personal transformation for them.
Yes, so that, yes.
Because as we move into this awakening more deeply and this ascension process, people are going to ultimately need to see their engagement and their active involvement as a catalyst for change. So part of what you're seeing in your practice are people who more want you to take care of things, and there's more of a passivity about them rather than them feeling like, oh, I'm co-creating this space with you. And these are the things I can do to follow through and follow up. These are the things I can become aware of afterwards. I can take notes on. And does that make sense to you in your practice?
Yes. Yes. It's really interesting. Yeah. So they really need to be involved and have an active way in the process. To be active in the process.
Okay. And a lot of that shift starts with you, because you have been holding an energy that all the weight of this transformation is on my shoulders.
Okay. Yeah.
Does and that make sense to you?
Yes. So it's not on myself. It's on them. Yeah.
It's you. The weight, if you will, that's on your shoulders is the weight of delivering the modalities, the expertise that you know at the highest level. But that's all you're responsible for. You are absolutely not responsible for their change. It's up to them and where they're at and what they want to do and how they want to follow through and how they want to anchor it and how they want to be aware of the changes and live the changes that were, in a sense, delivered to them. That's actually being asked of everyone now. Back in the day, and this still is very active now, but the older concept, the older ideas where you go to somebody and they change you and you're passive in it. And you have, if somebody's a good healer, it's good. If they're a bad healer, it's good. And you have, as the recipient of it, you have no engagement in it. But that is a paradigm that's shifting now. It will not be sustainable in the awakened time. So for you to begin to shift and realize my responsibility is to create this beautiful space and then educate the people who come to me on how they get the most out of the session during it and after it. And also if there's any prep beforehand, so that you're really giving that sense of empowerment to them.
Yeah. So it's very interesting. Thank you so much.
Does that help?
Yes, a lot. Yes, thank
Beautiful.
You.
We got there, didn't we?
Thanks, Marie. So we have about 4 minutes left. And so I have a quick question. And we'll see what happens.
We love quick questions because they're never quick.
I know. What is my resistance to the High Council of Orion and or the attunements? And or other races.
Or other races, meaning what?
Palladians, Arcturians.
So you feel resistance to all of them?
I think so. And I think some are more so than others. I don't know if I'm just not comfortable with it or if there's something else there, but like even just as this has gone on with questions and stuff, I can feel a resistance between you and me. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that is. If you could enlighten something, that would be awesome.
Well, we in this context, we will share what's available for right now. So part of it is, and you may even have resistance to this right now, we understand that, is you have a very independent spirit. Is that fair?
Very fair.
And there's, while you seek guidance and inspiration and support and expansion, there's a piece of it that there's still resistance for, quote unquote, needing help, needing outside information, needing something else. There's a piece of you that's so strong and independent that you expect and want all wisdom, all energy to flow from you.
So is that just a polite way of saying I'm a control freak, or is that a separate issue altogether?
No, we didn't say you were a control freak at all.
No, I did.
Yes, we know that. But we're going to just say to you is, does that feel true? What was said?
Yes.
Right. So would you like that to feel different?
Yes.
We expect you would, because you're doing things of working with med beds and extraterrestrial energies of all sorts, correct?
Correct.
And so what it means is this grit, if you will, which we're not, there's zero criticism around it. It's observational. It means you're not going to go as far and do as much as what you feel like you can do because of that resistance to that. So what we would share with you is just, you don't need to go in diving off the deep end or hook, line, and sinker or whatever kind of term you want to use with it. It's just like, what do I feel comfortable hearing, or what do I feel comfortable receiving, or what do I feel comfortable adopting? And allow yourself to go it slowly. But if it feels resonant, what we're sharing and saying, I am very strong, I'm very independent, and I want to feel like I've got a handle on all this myself, and that I'm not relying on anyone or anything, 3D, 5D, 25D, it doesn't matter. I want to go it alone. Just honoring and respecting that in yourself is absolutely, we would say, one of the first ways to actually release resistance.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Can you feel why?
Well, yes, because once you accept it or honor it, then you're not pushing against it so much.
Right.
So it's the acceptance.
Well, and it's even just the allowance, we would say. You don't even have to accept it right away. Just maybe allowing that maybe that's true. Maybe it is true. And if that's true, and then it gives you, and you allow for it, it just gives you a different playing field of how to move. Because it could also be, well, I feel a little bit more comfortable with the Arcturians. And maybe I still feel some resistance, but maybe I'm going to pay more attention to them for a little while. Right?
Okay.
Or maybe I feel a little more comfortable with this one aspect of one teaching from one race. Right? But being in that allowance of who you are. And the other question that would come up, that's more of an internal question that you can explore, is, what do I feel like I'm giving up? What do I feel like I am giving up or have to give up if I open up to align with any of these extraterrestrial races?
So you feel it's more based around that as opposed to an unresolved trauma, maybe from a lifetime on those planets? You feel it's more to do with this than that? I'm just asking for clarification and curiosity.
We could go through all the races, and there might be small amounts of trauma, but in the overarching energy, the resistance is more based on what your life experience is and how you have cultivated a very admirable amount of self-protection.
Okay.
Does that resonate?
Yes. Thank you.
And we have no criticism around it. It's just observation.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the pivot question is,
yeah,
what do I feel like I'd have to give up if I opened up to this?
Got it. Thank you very much. That's awesome. And we are at 13 minutes after the hour.
Okay, beautiful. Be blessed. We are the High Council of Orion. All right. How are we doing? All right, so what we're going to do now is just take a little break so we can move around, use the restroom. Let's just take 5 minutes. And so I have 14 after the hour. Let's come back at 19 after the hour. And then we'll do breakout rooms and you can do some channeling with each other. All right. See you soon.
Thank you, Holly.
You're welcome. Thanks for noticing that, Elizabeth. All right, let me just say that over again. I mean, I guess it doesn't really matter. But we're going to go into the breakout rooms to do a shared channeling. We have an even number of people, so it'll just be two of you in the room. And this will be choose whatever you want. And what I mean by that is if you're you decide, do I want to ask a question? And so the other person will channel whomever they're going to channel a response. Or do you want to just receive a message from whomever they're channeling? Does that make sense? So you decide what you want to do. And I know some of you channel a lot of different beings or groups. So you get to decide who you're going to channel tonight or who wants to come through. So it's just, you know, practice, have fun. And support each other. And so Sherry Lynn, you'll just flow with it and it'll be fine since this is your first time here. I have confidence in you. And yeah, so that's about it. So I will because we've been doing this for so long, I'm not gonna send in the partway through messages anymore. We're just gonna end about 10 minutes before the hour. So you'll have close to 30 minutes. Okay. And so just you guys watch the time and try and balance the time out. All right. Any questions? No? Okay. All right. So I'm going to open the rooms, have fun, and I'll see you shortly. This is saying I'm muted, but I'm not muted. Okay. So let's share about what that was like. Anyone want to jump in? Carol, please go ahead.
Well, Sherry Lynn and I were paired up and it was interesting to give in addition to receive, because this is the first time Mary Magdalene came in, as she's not somebody I've ever channeled before, and but it was definitely her. She announced herself because I thought, this energy is slightly different than a very familiar one, and I kept saying Mother Mary, and it wasn't Mother Mary. And she says, no, this is Mary Magdalene. And she came forward and she was just it was just really a beautiful and supportive, I felt, reading for Sherry Lynn. She just talked about how important the role is that in the 3D world, like Sherry Lynn's like part of the vanguard, as light workers are, to express themselves in ways to share their light, their love, in very small, it doesn't have to be a large gesture, it can even be a smile, it can just be your kindness, and that's really what brings people forward. It opens them up to their own humanity instead of being just focused on the job and work, you know.
Yeah,
and
that's great.
And yeah. So it's more of that, and just expanding on that concept. So it was interesting, and it was talking about ask, be open to receive, and be grateful. So yeah. That came through.
Great. Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing all that. Anyone else want to share? Yeah, Sherry Lynn, please go ahead.
If you don't mind, yeah. So yeah, the message that came through from Carol was, I was crying. It was beautiful. And for me, so for everybody who doesn't know, I've done a lot of automatic writing. So I've connected with beings that way, but I haven't actually, other than like just ad hoc in my sessions, I haven't channeled verbally. So this was a new thing for me. And so in this case, Archangel Metatron came through. I connect with him quite frequently. Whether I like it or not, he just comes through to give messages. So we kind of developed a rapport. And his message was really interesting because it was talking about just the shift that we're going through in this ascension time. And I guess it was a kind of a, in a sense, an extension to the flavor of, you know, as we go through that shift, our bodies need potentially different, like a little bit of a different treatment. So in the case of Carol, it was more about like not getting out of that busy habit and not forcing so much, not making things happen so much, but instead co-creating and allowing and receiving and opening and just stepping into joy and allowing joy to be the guide in life and caring for herself so that her light is bright for those that are important in her life and those that she connects with. So that was a pretty cool message, and I hope that it served her well.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. Thank you. And thanks for jumping right in.
Thanks.
With your first Same time.
On, I guess.
Yeah, awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Elizabeth, please go ahead.
So this is the first time I have actually been paired with Candace.
What? Really?
Yeah, and this class.
That is a wild. I never would have imagined that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's amazing how it sometimes puts the same people together all the time. I can't believe you guys have never been paired. Okay.
And so I got to experience her light language.
Oh, nice.
Very cool. Love it. It was, I don't know what she said, but felt real good and it seemed to do something. So, that was really cool, to receive that. And, what happened for me was in channeling. So partway through after we'd started the class tonight, I had Ishtara sitting up here and I'm like, okay. And she's like, well, you could channel me. And I'm like, okay. So then when I, so then we did our question and whatnot. And then when I get into the room, it's like, you know me, you can channel me. So I said, okay. And I have to tell you, it was one of the most easy flowing channelings I did. And it was because I know her and I can trust her. So I can let go of some of that resistance or that hanging on to. So that was a really interesting experience. She's come to me a couple of times before and said, channel me. And I'm just like, yeah, no, That's Holly. That's Holly's game, which I know it isn't, but still. So that was kind of cool. I thought that was really neat. So I may do more of her.
Well, why not? And it, you know, that it kind of, well, you can tell me if I'm wrong, but it feels like it resonates with the question you also asked the High Council of Orion, like, maybe you're not as familiar with some of these other groups of beings. And so maybe you have a little bit more of that time to like, oh, like, am I going to let you in? You know, I don't know. You can.
Yes, that's exactly how I was feeling at the end of it. That's why it went so well. Because I've known her for a long time.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Candace?
I'll share. So that's really cool to know that was Ishtara.
I didn't know it?
No.
Oh.
It was the second part of the question that I wanted to ask earlier and didn't ask was about the apartment that I fell in love with that just got sold. And I've been really attached and grieving that I just wasn't ready or quick enough for it. And what she said was like that it wasn't actually, I was going to grow too fast for it and it wasn't going to be able to grow with me. Wow. So I feel a little bit better. I honestly do, even though I'm still like, it was the most perfect home for me. But I have a little bit of like, okay, I can get that. But I'm still like, Arr! So it's kind of a funny thing. But then in channelings, I really love answering in light language. Like I want to do more of it. And I really like doing body work. I've done so much body work in my life. I did like 12 years. That was my job, was doing body work with people and specifically doing energy work, but like on the physical form. Even though obviously it's more than just that, but I was with the body on a table. And so I really want to do more of that. So if anybody, but not just the body, but also I like someone asks a question in English and then I answer in light language. And then they ask another question in English. And I just want to do more. So if anybody wants to trade or play, I'm available. I really want to practice. Just putting that. Great.
I think you'll have a lot of takers for that. Yeah. Cool. Great. Thanks for sharing. Mireille or Kevin, do you have anything you want to share? No, Kevin, no. Okay.
Yes, it was. I got really good information from Kevin. So it's a shift in the way I think. I see things. So that was, it just made me aware of that. So thank you so much, Kevin.
Awesome. Okay. And Carol, I saw your hand up.
Candace, you might want to talk to Reet because she does Friday mornings. She does a light language group.
Yes, she does.
Yeah. So, and the people are one's from Canada, one's I don't know where else from, New York, I think. And one of the men is from, there's a man who's from Switzerland, I think. He's, you know, from Europe. So
well, I'll check in with her for sure. Thank you.
Yeah, great. Well, exciting. Well, thank you everyone for your time and your presence. We meet again on June 19th. And so you'll get the reminders around that. And we'll see if we have a bigger showing next time. But, you know, it's always perfect whoever's here and whoever can make it. So just glad to share this time with all of you and excited for our next adventure together. And the replay should be up faster than it's been up recently. So probably within 2 days this time. So you'll get an email as soon as it's ready. All right. All right. Take care, everyone. Love to you
Thanks,
all.
Thanks, Holly. Take Bye-bye. Care, everyone.
Hey, thank you.
Bye.
Thanks. For